Hello everybody and welcome to this teleclass, which is called Know Your Numbers. I'm Angela Anoff and I'm proud owner of Creating Order from Chaos, as well as the Professional Organizer's Edge. Now this teleclass is part of the Professional Organizer's Edge membership benefits. So the people who are members of the Edge get to listen into this class for free. Whether they are an Edge member today or in the future, because all these classes are recorded and future Edge members get access to the lot. And of course, every month there's more and more and more, so the benefits are growing all the time. Now, I will be sharing tonight three code words, and these are special. They help you get a certificate that you can use for professional development to show for your APO accreditation. If you want to know more about that, there is a Professional Organizer's Edge teleclass about accreditation as well, so have a listen to that. But what I'm going to do is share three code words during the call, write those down, and I will tell you what to do with them at the end of the call. Now, about this topic, sometimes talking about money can be uncomfortable. It's not something we generally do in polite societies, to talk about money and how much we earn, etc. And, of course, within APO, the Australasian Association of Professional Organisers, we can't talk about that kind of subject at all because of the laws in Australia that restrict associations from appearing to set prices. It's called price fixing and it's against the law, and that's why in APO we don't talk about it. However, I'm paid for my advice and my guidance and my mentorship, etc., and I can talk about those things either one-on-one with you or in a group. Having said that, I won't be telling you what to charge. I will be telling you some ways to figure out what you can charge, because everybody's different, everybody's business is different, everybody's expectations from their business is different. And, you know, if I was to say, tell you what you should charge, I may well be limiting you instead of trying to, you know, help you to flourish. So I won't limit you in any way. I will share the disclaimer that what I share tonight, I want you to take that on board and tweak it to what works for you. Every business is different and the results will differ. So please take what I say and then use your own common sense or guidance from an accountant or somebody in the know to help you figure out what you're going to charge your clients. So some of the things that I'll share on tonight's call are an exercise to do to help you figure out what your rates should be, three different formula to figure out what your rates should be. We will talk about what numbers to track, because this teleclass is called Know Your Numbers. It's not just about money, but there are other numbers that you should track as well to be really profitable in business. What to do to when you decide to raise your rates and how not to lose clients doing that. That's something a lot of people are concerned about. And I'll let you know that the expenses that you really must invest in your business. So let's get on, shall we? And as well as all that, I'll stop every now and again to ask if there are any questions from the floor, because I know this is, you know, it's a big topic. I want to make sure everybody's getting the answers that they need. If you think of something after this call, please feel free to email me and ask a question, and I'll be happy to do my best to answer it for you. So I want to share with you a couple of horror stories as a way to get you to see why knowing your numbers is so important. The first one is I'm thinking of a particular person that I came across who was a new organiser, and although of course I'm not going to name her, but you can be assured she's not the only one that has made this mistake. So this new organiser had recently left her employmentville life because she loves to help people get organised, of course, and would love to do that. So off she went, helping people get organised, and she was quite busy. And she was charging people the same hourly rate that she got when she was an employee. So what my words to her at that time when I heard that she was doing that were, I've never seen that business model work. And the reason is that she hasn't factored in any of the business running costs. She hasn't factored in the fact that you're not going to be able to book yourself Monday to Friday, you know, every day of the week as you do when you're an employee. There's no sick pay allowed to you as a business owner. There's no contingency in there at whatsoever. So not long into this arrangement that she thought was going to be wonderful because she was going to help people get organised, she realised that she was not only not making money, she was actually losing money. So that every time she actually got a job, it was costing her more to cover her insurance, her travel expenses, the phone, the office, website and all of that. It was actually costing her more than she was making. So that is a horror story that I would implore you to avoid at all costs. And then there's the more unusual story that I came across with an organiser who was doing really well in business. She had a lot of clients. She had a lot of really high-end clients, and she was the kind of organiser that had was doing a lot of purchasing of product on behalf of her clients. And so she was handling a lot of money through her accounts. Now, that's great. She was doing pretty well, but she wasn't that interested in her profit and loss statement. She wasn't that interested in figuring out exactly how much she made because she covered her expenses and she had a little extra money to put towards the family income. Here's the kicker. This client, this organiser, was bringing in so much money through her accounts, she should have been registered for GST, and she wasn't. This is something that's very, very concerning because you've got legal obligations to the country, to the tax office, and they want to see evidence of what you're doing, the money that's going through your accounts and so on. And, of course, if you reach a certain turnover, you need to be GST registered, and she wasn't. She was totally unaware of her obligation. So that is a pretty horrific story as well. So those two things, I hope you will see there's lots of reasons to know your numbers. And one of the things that I'll share tonight is a really positive reason to know your numbers, and that is that you, once you know your numbers, you will actually increase your numbers, and I'll show you how later. So before I start to share the formulas, I want to share a few things that I tell everybody that's starting out in this business of ours. Number one, we are not cleaners. I know we don't, do the cleaning for people. We also need to not charge like cleaners, because time and time again I have seen people arrive in our industry, charge very low rates, equivalent to cleaners, and I'll tell you now, I pay my cleaners here in Melbourne $40 an hour. So there you go. Don't charge what a cleaner charges, because you will get cleaning jobs, no doubt about it. The hourly rate that you got in Employmentville will not cover your costs and liabilities and your downtime and all those sorts of things. That business model just isn't sustainable. And remember, our services change lives, not just spaces. So always be aware of the benefits that you're delivering on, not just that someone's got more space, more time, maybe more money, but that they are actually now living a happier life, a more full life. They have more confidence and all those other side benefits that people get that actually does change their lives. Okay, let's get into it. Formula number one for calculating your rates. Now, this is the one that most organisers start with, and although it's not that effective, and you'll see why in a moment, it's as good a place to start as any, and it comes in handy. So if this is all you've done so far, good on you, that's a starting place. But so most organisers, when they start out, they try and work out what are the other organisers in the industry doing? What are they charging? So, they ask around, they poke around on websites. You might have heard this question asked at a forum meeting or at in our group and so on. So they're trying to gauge what's standard for the industry. And that, like I said, it's an okay place to start. They might find out that, for instance, and I don't know if this is true, but for instance, maybe the well-known PO in their area gets about $120 an hour. And the newest reputable organisers are charging around $60 an hour. So they've figured out the range goes from 60 to 120, and they're going to see where they fit in to that band. Like I said, it's an okay place to start, and there are pros. The pros are it seems to be working for those other organisers. The other organisers in the area won't be mad at them if they fall within that band. So, they feel like they should fit into the norm. And somebody has already worked out the expenses and it saves you the work. So it's a bit of a lazy way to start to figure out what your rates are going to be. The cons for that formula are that although it might look like those rates are working for those other organisers, how on earth would you know? So it might not actually be working. And it actually bears no relation to the value that you, as the organiser doing the research, would promise or provide. Remember I said, we've got to remember that our services change lives and there are many benefits that we deliver. So the rate that you might settle on within that band might actually not be relevant to what is appropriate for your business. But that is one formula, and it's the one that most people start with, and a lot of people finish there as well. What tends to happen with that formula is that people quickly realise, oh, I better increase my rates, and it's a little safe to do so off they go. Here's the second formula, and this is where I think you should pick up your pen and paper and take some notes. And if you don't want to do that right now, listen again to this section of the recording when you get it, because this is the exercise for you. This is the hands-on part. I want you to figure out what it takes to survive in your business. I'm not talking about guts and determination. I'm talking about the actual dollars and cents, the money that it takes to run your business for a full 12 months. So we're looking at an annual cost. And the things that we're looking at first are your survival costs, not the extra things. I want them in a separate list. The survival costs, the things that you absolutely must pay for to be in business. And remember I said I would share the essential costs. Okay, so there's your phone, and these are in no particular order either. Your phone, you've got to be contactable. Your office costs, things like, a computer, a laptop, a printer maybe. And these are all variable, of course. I mean, you could get a really cheap phone and a really cheap laptop, and that's one way of setting up business. Another way is, the things that you've already got that you don't have to outlay for except for your monthly expenses. Take a really good look at those things and make sure you know your annual costs. The car or whatever transport it is that you're using to run your business. Insurance, that is a really important expense. Don't start out in business without it. It's absolutely essential that you have appropriate insurance. And yes, I know it can be expensive when you're outlaying at first, but it is so worth it. You never want to have to rely on it, but touch wood, you won't have to. You've got to have it in your arsenal. So your insurance, and I actually have just paid mine this week for the year. It came to just over $1,000. Your APO fees, I'm going to say that's a survival cost. I don't think that the fees are nice to have. I think they are a must have. If you're going to set yourself up as a reputable organiser with, code of ethics and things like that, then you must be a member of your industry association wherever you are. The networking costs. Again, I think in our kind of business, networking is essential. And you can network for free in lots of places, or you could spend a lot of money going to one of the large networking groups. Either way, please count that as a survival cost. Your online presence. Notice I didn't say website, because to start out, to absolute basic minimum, you do need an online presence. What that looks like varies. It might be a whiz-bang website. It might be a Facebook page. There'll be something in between that works for you and your business. If you have small children, you will know that the cost of you going out to work is appropriate childcare. So factor that in. That's a survival cost. And then there are your setup costs like your business registration, trademarking, etc. If there are any more, add them to the list. If you think it's absolutely essential, to have something I haven't listed, please add that to your survival cost list. And that all brings me to the very first code word, which is survival. And a break for any questions.
I don't have any right now.
No? Okay.
No.
I'll keep moving then.
Mm-hmm.
Next, let's have a look at your other costs. The things that, as your business grows and you start to bring in a little more money, perhaps, you will be able to start spending on these other costs. Things like outsourcing your bookkeeping, your annual visit to the accountant. Maybe it's cleaning and ironing it in the household or gardening so that it frees up more time for you to be earning as an organiser. It might be your customer relationship management tools. Things like supplies, the label maker, all of those sorts of things. Your marketing, which again can vary in cost from $0 to big dollars. And one more thing, and I'm sure there's lots of other things, but this one thing I want to mention, and that's superannuation. I think a lot of people, when they go into business for themselves, forget about that brilliant thing that happens when you're an employee. Superannuation, investing for the future. As I near retirement, I'm grateful for mine. It really is something that you want to be setting aside for yourself for the future, and there are lots of other things that you could be doing with your money, etc., as well. Again, if I've left anything off the list that you think belongs on the list, add that in. Remember, you're calculating this on behalf of your own business, all your annual expenses. Now, we haven't even paid ourselves yet. So how much do you want to earn in a year? Add your wages to this calculation. And of course, you might have heard it before, pay yourself first. You are your business's most important employee, your most important asset. Please pay yourself first and then the bills. And when you do that, when you pay yourself first, it becomes a habit. It becomes just a consequence. You know that you have to pay that bill first and then the bills. And, you know, it's true that that kind of mindset will force you to go out and make the sales that you need to make for that payment to happen and to be able to pay the bills, etc. So you've calculated all your survival costs in business, the nice-to-have costs, and now you're going to figure out how much do you want to earn in a year. Now, for a lot of people, they start out part-time as an employee for somebody else and working part-time as an organiser. And this calculation about how much do you want to earn in a year is really important and very useful to help you figure out that jumping point, you know, the time when it's going to be okay to leave that paid employment behind and jump across into full-time organisership. So that, you know, some people are really lucky to be in a flexible situation where they can whittle it down and make a slow jump. Other people have to take a big leap, and that big scary leap is going to be less scary if you know exactly what your numbers are. Okay, so you've figured out all your expenses and how much you want to earn. Now calculate how many weeks a year will you be able to work. There are 52 weeks in the year. You might want to take an annual holiday. There might be school holidays to consider that you can't or don't feel you want to earn money during. You have to allow for a week or two of sick leave, those sorts of things. So how many weeks will there be available after all those calculations for you to actually earn a living? And then how many hours per week can you work, or do you want to work? So lots of numbers to be calculating here, and it will all come down, it will all help you in the long run to figure out exactly how much you must charge, at least per hour. So if we do a little example, let's say that your annual cost accrue to $15,000, for argument's sake. This is not taken from real life. This is easy numbers so that I can make an easy calculation. Let's say that you've nominated that you want to earn $35,000 a year. $15,000 costs plus $35,000 wages equals $50,000. Let's say, for argument's sake, that you think that you can work 500 hours per year. 500 hours, you would have to charge $100 per hour to get to your $50,000. I hope that makes sense. When you write it all down, I'm sure it will be. So you've calculated your costs and wages are to be $50,000, you've calculated that you would be able to to work for 500 hours, you will need to charge $100 per hour. And that is the most reliable way to figure out what you need to be charging. We'll talk about the next step after in Formula 3, but you need to cover your costs and every other aspect of your business and to make your time worthwhile, etc., $100 an hour in that example. Here's another example, and I've just pulled a couple of numbers out of my hair because, you know, as I said, I'm not great with maths, but I've done these calculations. Let's say your cost plus wages ends up being $47,500. That's a little bit less than the $50,000. But you've got a 540 hours that you think you could work each year. The calculation then reduces down to charging $88 per hour. So you can see that by manipulating those numbers, you can come up with a different hourly rate. It's why it's so important for you to figure out exactly what is going to suit you in your business. And it's most important at this point to be realistic. Don't just guess. Have a really good guess. And once you've made your guess, I would continue to track the numbers to figure out, is this going to be realistic? Is this going to work for me? Do I need to up the hours that I'm going to work, or do I need to up my hourly rate or do something else or reduce my expectations? Whatever it is, you're in charge of your business. I would implore you to be realistic. And that is just such a coincidence because it's the second code word. The second code word is realistic. So, any questions there?
No.
Okay, let's move on. Formula number three. And this is the thing that I always come down to. You've figured out, in Formula 1, you figured out sort of what everybody else was doing. In Formula number 2, you've really got to the nitty-gritty and you've worked out what what your bottom line is, what you must be charging to make it in your business. Formula 3 sort of combines the two of them as well as another factor, and that is charge what the market will bear. So just because you've worked out you need to charge $100 an hour doesn't mean you have to. If the market will bear more, charge more. Charge what the market will bear. The things that affect the market are things like where you live, who you work with, so the kinds of client that you're working with. And the thing that has the biggest impact is how well you can connect with your market. How well you convey to your market that you are the one for them and they cannot possibly do without you. And that's a key to marketing your business, isn't it? But the market, if you're the organiser, the only person who understands that particular pain points that your clientele has, and you get results like you wouldn't believe, and everybody's clamouring to be your client, of course you can charge more. And that's where the market comes into it. So how do you do that confidently? That's the trick. you have to have, it's a bit like, oh my goodness, it's that, it's gone from my head now, the musical where she, you whistle and whistle a happy tune, it'll come to me later, you've got to show confidence, even though you might be trembling inside when you say that amount. You take a deep breath. Someone says, how much do you charge? Take a deep breath and you say the amount. If you're not squirming a little bit, Maybe you can push yourself a little more. And, you know, you might see that some people are going to go, oh, my goodness, that's just so too much for me. You know, who do you think you are? It's okay. Not everyone will hire you. That's okay. Not everybody is going to be able to afford an organizer. Of course, you've got to do what's right for your business. There is a balance between charging, you know, enough to make you successful and profitable in your business and, you know, a ridiculous amount that people are going to laugh at you about. You will find the balance. But a really good trick if you're putting up your rates and, you know, you're reaching that discomfort zone is to write the number, whatever that hourly rate is, write it on a big piece of paper, put it near the phone, near your desk, wherever you can see it. And when you say, when somebody asks you how much you charge, look at that number and say it strongly with a good, confident voice, and then just leave it there. You don't have to justify it. I had a client call the other day, a new client, who asked for a discount, you know, and I said no, you know, and she booked me anyway. It's so just because somebody asks for a discount or, you know, tries to negotiate you down doesn't mean you have to agree. There are ways that you can handle that conversation. So that the formula number three is the easiest one for me to share with you because it is what the market will bear. Only you and your business sense can figure that out. It is useful to know that formula number one, what other people are charging, because you know that in the marketplace, in your local marketplace, that's already appears to be acceptable. You can now play with that a little bit if you want to. But remember that if your idea of success is to work for 40 hours a week at $30 an hour, you will get lots of hands-on work, for sure. But you will be broke, you'll be exhausted, and you will probably go back to being an employee for the rest and for the secure income. And that's okay too. Not everybody's suited to being a business owner, but you might need to redefine your idea of success in business as to not how many hours of clients are you seeing in a week, but, you know, track a different number, the dollars, the bottom line dollars. So, any questions at that point? No. Okay. Let's move on. Let's assume that you have now done your calculations and you've decided to raise your rates. I hope that nobody ends up lowering their rates. I can't see that happening. So let's say you have decided you're going to raise your rates. And how do you do that without losing the clients that you already have? There's some easy ways to do it. And one is to reward their loyalty and to, you know, recognise that if you haven't changed your rates in 3 years and you've had them for 3 years, you know, they've gotten used to paying a certain amount, it's going to come as a surprise to them. I guess it depends how much you're raising your rates by as to how much of a shock it's going to be for your current clients. If you're raising your rates by a significant amount, you might consider doing it in stages and letting people know ahead of time that that's what you're doing. One thing I always recommend is that people have an annual review and that you let people know that, you know, every January, every June, whatever you decide, you will have an annual review. Now, sometimes you might choose to leave your rates on hold. I would still have the review, still tell people that you've had it, and let them know that the rates are staying the same. That's another, you know, opportunity for you to show value and to communicate that perhaps next year the rates won't stay the same. It, get people used to seeing that annual review happen. Okay, so you have decided to increase your rates, and I would announce it ahead of time, give people a little notice. This is not to the whole world. This is to your current clients and to maybe people on your mailing list who you know, you might want to encourage them to take up a package before the rates rise. So announce there's a rate rise coming. Make a little offer, a limited time offer. Maybe it could be, you know, you can still purchase at the old hours at the old rate up until such and such a date. You might find you get some pre-sales that way. Of course, they're not going to be, they'll be non-refundable. People have to use them within a year or whatever time frame you get to set out. But, you know, you've got to raise your rates and get a little income ahead of time, cash flow happening, and they feel like they got a good deal. It's a win-win there. For your current loyal clients, it might be worth telling them about the rate rise, but giving them a grace period so that, you know, you might say to them, listen, my rates go up every year on the 1st of January, but because you're a good client, for you, the rate won't go up until 6 months later, 1st of July, something like that. That gives them a really good grace period. It also lets them know that it's not forever and, you know, time moves on, etc. And then once you've done all of that, the final thing I would say about raising your rates is enforce your new policy. Don't, you know, shilly-shally and, like I said, swallow your the amount in your mouth when you go to tell people. Say it loud and proud and be confident when you say that amount, and get used to it. Enforce it for yourself as much as for anybody else. I hope that helps. Okay, one more time. Any questions? No. Okay, let's keep moving. I said earlier that it's not just money that we need to be tracking. There's a lot of other things, numbers, that it's very useful in business to track and to keep a good handle on. And one of these is leads. Where are your leads coming from? Who are they? What do they have in common? This is, you know, there's statistics about who's contacting you. How did they find you? What was the result of that contact? Did it end in a sale? If it didn't end in an immediate sale, how many follow-ups did you go through? And which of those follow-ups worked for those clients? And hopefully over time you will see the statistics grow and give you a picture of where your leads come from, what are the most profitable sources of your marketing, what's the best way to follow up for your kind of client, etc. So, you know, a picture should emerge for you and help you grow your business. It's a bit of a snowball effect. The more information that you gather, the more numbers that you track, the more, the more power you have, because information is power. So that's one kind of number to track, is the leads. Closely associated with that is your income streams. So which avenues of revenue are your most profitable? So I would encourage you not to just track your income and your cash flow, but, you know, which areas of your business is getting the most money? and especially in relation to the time that you put in. So, for instance, are you tracking your income from ebooks separately from your hands-on consultations? Are you tracking income from workshops? Those sorts of things. So all those different income streams, it's useful to know where the money's coming from. Because, of course, if you see that, oh, look, for an hour's worth of workshop once a month, I can generate as much income as, 5 hours of hands-on on work, wouldn't you start doing more workshops and increasing the ratio there? It's really important to know. That's the classic work smarter, not harder thing, isn't it? Okay, finally, I promised you the happiest tracking, knowing your numbers of all, the happy reason to know your numbers and to track them. You've got your survival number. You know the dollars it takes to run your business and to not go out of business. You've got your realistic numbers. Those are the ones that you know what to expect, that you can earn doing the things that you're already doing without changing anything. I'll say that again. Your realistic number is the amount that you can expect to earn doing the things you're already doing, changing nothing. So pretty much status quo, that's what you're getting right now. So you've got that survival number and the realistic number. I want to tell you about the optimistic number. The optimistic number is when you dial it up. So it's what you could aim for. If you had an awesome month, and I really recommend tracking your all your numbers by month, because a year or a quarter is just way too long to wait to see what trends are happening. It's too long to celebrate. Do it every single month and you'll get much more momentum happening. So back to your optimistic number. If you were charging the same rate, so I don't, in this optimistic number, it's not about charging more, but it is about stepping up your marketing efforts, your strategies, stepping out of your comfort zone, doing that extra bit, going the extra mile to get clients, etc. The optimistic number is the number that gets you out of your comfort zone. You really have to stretch. And that's the one you go for. Not your survival number, not your realistic number. You know, that you can do those with your eyes closed. The optimistic number is the one that you stretch for. And if you are concentrating on that number rather than, just your realistic number, you will see that you'll reach it occasionally. It won't be every month, but every now and again you'll do an extra fist pump because you reached your optimistic number. And as well as that, I would say have a way to track how that's going throughout the month. So put it in a spreadsheet or, set a reminder on the 15th of the month to see how you're going, how's it going so far this month. If you see you're nearly there or you're about halfway, you can push yourself a little more. It's a little bit like having a personal trainer say, 5 more reps. You can do it. This optimistic number really can drive you and drive you harder in your business, a bit like a personal trainer does. I guarantee that once you start tracking your optimistic number, you will start to do the things it takes to bring in new business, the extra little things. You will be hitting that optimistic target, and if you find that you're starting to hit it on a regular basis, dial it up again and increase the optimistic number. Then you've got even more to strive for. And that brings me to my third code word, optimistic. optimistic. Okay, so any final questions? No, that's okay. I would encourage you, if you think of something that you wanted to ask or you would prefer to ask me in private, that's fine. Go ahead and send me an email. I'd be happy to chat with you. If you want to set up a one-on-one session with me so that we can go through all your survival numbers and your realistic numbers and set you an optimistic number and all of those things, if you want to talk about specific rates one-to-one, we can set up a session to do that too. Send me an email and we will organise an appointment. As I said, all Professional Organisers Edge members get this recording for included in their membership. VIP Edge members are those members who have chosen 12 months of membership and extra VIP benefits. And one of those could be that you use your one-on-one time with me to set up your rates and things like that. So have a think about how you'd like to use that. And of course, I would love for the people listening, if you're not already a Professional Organisers Edge member, to consider joining. The benefits are many, and I'd love to talk to you about that as well. The next teleclass will be on October the 27th. This one's come about because of a special request that somebody made. If you have a special request for a teleclass, let me know. I can, you know, I'm always open to suggestions, and I love to build interesting topics that will actually make a difference in people's businesses. So this next one is all about keeping client records, about managing the relationships, managing the pipeline, keeping in touch, bookmarking and tracking progress, and of course keeping your records for APO accreditation. And finally, what to do with those code words so that you can apply for APO accreditation using this time as professional development. Email the three code words to me at angela@creatingorder.com.au. And I thank you very much for listening in.
Thanks, Angela.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Angela.